Well, it's very good to be with you this morning. I've been looking forward to this for a little while, and it's an honor to bring greetings to you from the rest of your family of faith across the country. As Pastor Harold has indicated, some have been meeting in worship already this morning, some last evening, some will be meeting on a Sunday afternoon, and with the time changes, all through this day, your family of faith will be gathering together to worship in 16 different languages. We are tens of thousands of people spread across the country. You're part of a good family of faith as Mennonite Church Manitoba and Mennonite Church Canada. So I bring you greetings. Well, the beginning of a new year is a natural time for people to reflect about the future. And we've just come through that time. We're just freshly here into January. But I do note that the commercials are still running strong. So I think that's always when people are ready to turn to start something new, that's when they really cash in. So they're still thinking we're into the new year. But that new year reflection often includes searching for a sense of direction from God. As individuals and congregations, we search to understand how and where God wants to lead us through the coming year. That is a very natural focus for the people of faith. And it is with this in mind that I would like to look at this story in 1 Samuel, especially the interesting phrase that we find in verse 1. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. This is an interesting description for a period of biblical history. It depicts a time of silence, at least when God seemed silent. The inference is not one of confusion or mayhem, just silence. It conjures up memories of standing alone in the prairies on a still winter afternoon, or sitting alone in the forest in an autumn morning. Not a sound. No noise to break the stillness. Utter silence. Well, such an experience might feel relaxing and soothing, but as a descriptor of a period in biblical history, it seems disconcerting. The word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. As a context of biblical history, such silence is unnerving. Is there anything more unsettling for the people of God than to have the voice of the Lord rarely heard? Wisdom is stunted. Discernment is stifled. Direction is halted. Who can know the leading of the Spirit, the path of obedience, the journey of faithfulness, if the voice of God is not heard? For the people of God, it is a dreadful thing, a sad narrative, when the voice of the Lord is rare. Such silence is not golden. I have felt drawn to this descriptive phrase, and I've been meditating on its significance. Like a dream of the night that cannot be forgotten, I find myself returning to this verse again and again. What would create such an environment? Why would the word of the Lord become rare? What would cause such silence? Well, perhaps I am sensitized to such a concerning description because, as you are probably aware, as a national church body, we are in the midst of a process of discernment, the being a faithful church process. As Mennonite Church Canada family, we are preparing to discern what God requires of us. We are equipping ourselves to discern how God requests us to be a faithful church. And we anticipate hearing God speak. And so I hesitate, I shudder to imagine a time when the word of the Lord was rare. In fact, it causes me to shudder. There are times when silence is not welcomed. Well, this descriptor of verse 1 was setting the stage for the story that was to unfold. It was an explanation for why Eli and Samuel would be slow to recognize the voice of the Lord. They would be slow to recognize the voice of the Lord because it was uncommon. The voice of God was not often heard. So it's not that Eli and Samuel were unintelligent. It's that the word of the Lord was rarely heard. It was like getting a phone call from someone you haven't spoken with in a decade. Recognition unfolds. But why was God's voice so infrequent? Some suggest that the unreceptive nature of the people of God had hushed the voice of God. So God became quiet. Like an irritated spouse, God resorted to the silent treatment. 1 Samuel 2 details how Eli, aware of error that needed correction, failed to act and correct the wrong. God had given direction to priests as to how they should receive care for themselves and their families. As the meat of the sacrifices boiled was the description, the servant of the priest was to thrust a three-pronged fork into the kettle, and whatever was retrieved was to be given to the priest and his family for their sustenance. Eli's sons, however, demanded, under threat of death, that the choice cuts of meat be selected and given to them before it was boiled. And although the behavior was reported to Eli, the practice was not stopped. By his inactivity, Eli allowed greed to intimidate the innocent and gorge itself. Constraint was replaced with self-indulgence, and everyone knows that greed left unchallenged is a dangerous thing. It will subtly strangle and subdue other sensitivities and impulses, and soon the voice of the Lord can no longer be heard over the demands of self. There is a significant progression seen here. Eli and his sons participated in a willful neglect of God's direction, and this neglect led to unfamiliarity with God's voice. This is an important caution for us as individuals and congregations as we seek to remain sensitive to God's direction. Maybe it was not that the word of the Lord was rarely spoken. Perhaps it was that the voice of the Lord was rarely heard. I pray that the North American church will not slip into such a description. Unfamiliarity with Scripture may be an early sign of becoming desensitized to God's voice. Much better. A survey of 18 cities in 9 provinces revealed that 58.8% of the population does not read their Bible, nearly 60%. Menomedia and our Mennonite schools have been searching for ways to address the growing rate of biblical illiteracy in our own family of faith. This appears to be a relevant topic for us as well. Is this an early indicator of a potential growing unfamiliarity with the voice of the Lord? Although Scripture is not the only way God communicates, it is a critical platform for understanding God's voice. Any decrease in engagement with Scripture is a concern for the community of faith and could potentially lead to neglect of God's direction. It will not be a willful neglect, but it would be neglect nonetheless. It will be difficult for us to discern what it means to be a faithful church if we are not intuitively and intentionally attuned to the voice of the Lord. Could there be things we have allowed ourselves to drift from as a people of God? Are we already aware of the corrective direction that God might give us if we were to ask? Are we intuitively aware of that which we have been neglecting? You see, as history would have it, the persecution of 16th century Anabaptism, our spiritual lineage as a family of faith, came to an end and the remaining movement continued to live, but not before many people who deemed obedience to God to be of greater value than their livelihood and safety and lost their lives. But now, hundreds of years later, we find ourselves as the bearers of the Anabaptist vision. Like in 16th century Europe, we find ourselves in a time of great ferment. In 16th century Europe, peasants were revolting against a disparity of wealth. Landowners were extracting unjust taxes, and the church had become entangled in the extraction of wealth, and respect for the clergy, for the church, was decimated. There was a political revolution occurring, and alongside this political unrest, the church itself was experiencing a reformation. Well, today, we are seeing global dissatisfaction. We've seen it manifested in the occupation movement in cities across North America, and more recently in the Idle No More movement. People are continuing to express their dissatisfaction. There is an increasing demand for a more just distribution to wealth and greater equity for the ability to acquire wealth. The strategy of consuming our way into better days is being challenged. A new generation of consumers are beginning to question their appetites. And as people look for answers, they are noting that the bulk of the North American church is found within the context of wealth. As part of the consumer fabric, the majority of church folk are found in the middle to upper middle class segments of society. Now, this is not a value judgment. It is simply a descriptor of our time. Religious researchers are suggesting we are at the cusp of another Reformation-like shift in church life. The disparity between an ailing world and many of its inhabitants and the socioeconomic security of much of the church is being noted, and there is growing call for change. And in the midst of this context of spiritual restlessness, political dissatisfaction, economic nervousness, and societal anxiety, we find 21st century Anabaptists, keepers of the call for radical discipleship, a commitment to community, and a centered focus on Jesus. Young developing church leaders are looking at Anabaptism and recovering its emphasis. They are stumbling upon it just as they are doing church history work, and they're discovering Anabaptism. In a recent conference looking at the future of the church, a leader of another denomination was speaking of this great paradigm shift that we are experiencing. And when asked, well, what should churches be doing? What should congregations be doing? He responded by saying, become Anabaptist. New students of historical Anabaptism are hearing the voice of the Lord. Fuller Theological Seminary in California is developing a department of Anabaptist studies. An Anglican priest in Edmonton describes himself as an Anabaptist Anglican. Prior to becoming executive director of Mennonite Church Canada, my role with World Vision Canada included doing a lot of traveling with Tony Campolo. Tony consistently called the church in Canada and United States to a greater alignment of applying the gospel to issues of poverty and social justice. He was fervent in his call to action and would constantly challenge me as I was traveling with him by asking, where are the Mennonites? In this particular resurgence of that understanding of applying the gospel to issues of poverty and social justice, within the evangelical sector, there is an awakening occurring. And he would keep challenging me by saying, where are the Mennonites? They should be leading the charge in this awakening. Across Canada, I am seeing an increasing attraction to Anabaptism, especially among the young adult population. I mentioned this to faculty at Columbia Bible College in Abbotsford, BC. And one of the professors corrected me by saying, it's not so much that young adults are being attracted to Anabaptism as it is that they are being attracted to Jesus. And Anabaptism, with its focus on the life of Jesus, fits that yearning well. I tell you, people, the Spirit of God is moving. The voice of the Lord is being heard. If we do not lift up the Anabaptist understanding of the gospel, others will gently take it from us and live out its call to radical discipleship without us. Could it be said that being Mennonite no longer necessarily means that you are an Anabaptist? As benefactors of a commitment to radical discipleship, let us rise up to our historical responsibility. We need strong congregations and courageous pastors. We need audacious Mennonite communities who are fearless in living out and proclaiming the gospel. We need communities and families committed to simple living as a spiritual discipline designed to promote economic justice and challenge the reckless earth-decaying consumption. We need Mennonite business leaders to continue to model a pursuit for profit that is as much about generosity as it is about personal gain. We have such models, and the church is stronger because of them. But listen to your heart, my friend. The Spirit of the Lord is speaking, and hungry hearts everywhere are hearing it. This is the time for Mennonite business leaders to forge a bold new direction and apply their entrepreneurial savvy and experience to the cause. We need students and young adults to find fresh ways of making radical discipleship a compelling vision. Both in Canada and around the world, we need 21st century Anabaptists ready to reestablish a vital expression of God's grace. Our understanding of the core of the gospel is simple, as a three-statement summary developed by Palmer Becker. Jesus is the center of our faith. Community is the center of our lives. Reconciliation is the center of our work. Let me say those three again. Jesus is the center of our faith. Community is the center of our lives. Reconciliation is the center of our work. This is the gospel people want to see. This is the gospel people want to experience. This is the gospel people are ready to embrace. There was a time when the voice of the Lord was rare. But this is not such a time. Even in the story of Samuel, God's passion could not be held back. It refused to be muted. So in the stillness of the night, it reached out to the young, the innocent, those still receptive. And a name was spoken, and a child heard it. I'm sure there are those in Mennonite Church Canada family who feel that the voice of the Lord is rare. But the foundation of the Being a Faithful Church process is the belief that if the people of God listen, God will speak. God's passion is always aroused by open and receptive hearts. Such an invitation, mercy refuses to ignore. As people of faith, a people attuned to the voice of the Lord, let us remain open to both the obvious and the subtle. Both may contain the voice of the Lord. And when our young Samuel describes what has been heard or discerned, may we all join in unison in saying, "Speak, Lord, for your servants are listening." Amen.